In episode 4 of The Science Behind How Cats Eat, Dr. Carol Smea reveals some very interesting information about our cats' ears and how they hear, which is very different from humans. Sit back, relax, learn, and enjoy.
I'm Jay.
I'm Adrian.
And together we are
the Two Crazy Cat Ladies.
I'm gonna cut you.
I think I just peed.
Buckle up. We're back in the closet.
Welcome to episode number 4, guys, of the science around cats and how cats eat. With Dr. Carol Smea, one of our most favorite people on the entire planet.
I would say in any universe you would ever exist.
All the universes. One of our most
It is an absolute pleasure to be here. You bring such joy to me as well as the cat world.
Oh my God. Okay, so for any newbies that are joining and haven't seen the first 3 in this series, could you share a little intro again about yourself and how you're changing the world for all pets, cats specifically, and a little bit about this series that is just so brilliant?
Okay. Well, you guys have been great to give me the opportunity to share information on the science of feeding, because it's one area in the whole pet world that nobody's really addressed. We've gone from carcass feeding and through evolution to scatter feeding and then bowl feeding, and nobody ever said, is feeding from a bowl a good thing? So basically what I've done, my background's in psychology and sociology, and I was working on understanding eating behaviors in humans, what drives them, what motivates them, food choices. And I applied this to the pet world based on my own little pet's experience, Pip, who was a 15-pound Havanese who ate way too fast and had very unhealthy eating habits. So this led us to discover and invent the original Mind Pet Platter. And basically, I went back and studied how wild cats eat in the wild, looked at their evolution, but realized that especially for cats, even more so than wolves, they are so close to their ancestors from 12 million years ago. The only thing that's really changed is the color of their coats and the pattern. That is amazing. And I hope what we share today is this unique, unique physiology that cats have that drive their behavior all day long in your house. And hopefully we're going to give you some helpful tips on how to make them healthy in their eating patterns. And also to bring happiness to their lives, because feeding is one of the most important parts of their day. And we need to pay more attention to what they're telling us about their feeding.
100%.
I love it.
Thank you.
I love
yes.
This whole series is really, you know, tonight we're talking about the ears, you guys. And I know that we have a lot of cat ear fans here because they are literally one of the cutest, most adorable features on these.
They are. And they're very, we'll say hello, sweet Zula.
Look at
hello. Oh, good. We have a model tonight.
Yes. They're quite mysterious as well, as far as like, how did they just hear that? I didn't hear a thing. How did they hear that? So for those of you guys that have not seen the entire series, I encourage you to go back and watch. You can watch it on Facebook, probably easier on YouTube. We have it in a playlist, but go back and watch. At the beginning, we talked with Dr. Smea about the wild child in our cats.
How closely related they are to their ancestors. How they are not nearly as domesticated as we might think they are.
Correct. Then we talked about the nose and how the nose knows all. We talked about the whiskers and how we need to honor thy whiskers. And tonight we're going to be talking about their ears. Next week is also, stay tuned, guys. At the end of this, we're going to tell you a little bit about next week or next month and get your input on what we're going to talk about specifically next month and the science, because we're here with the scientists. Like, come on, who gets to do this?
This is amazing.
Who gets to do this? This is amazing. So I'm so excited to learn about hearing, about how our cats hear and about how their ears work, and specifically about that Henry's pocket.
Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to address some questions about that. That is one of the biggest questions about ears. Do you know that?
Really?
No matter where you go in the literature, academic or elsewhere, Henry's pocket is a great mystery, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. So
I want to, before I completely hand this over to you, this, I don't know if anyone doesn't know what Henry's pocket is. It is, I'm going to lift up our model here real quick. It is the little pocket in their ear. Can you point to it? It's a little flat skin right there that you could almost like just slip a dime into. And it's like, what is that about? Right? Yeah. So that's Henry's pocket.
Yes.
All right. Take it away, Dr. Smith.
Okay. Thank goodness we have a nice model. Okay. Well, it seems like I start off each one of these sessions by saying, oh my God, cats are so special in this. You know, their whiskers, their nose, and even compared to dogs and compared to us. Well, I'm happy to say that we're finding the same exact thing with their ears. They are biological wonders. And it's not only I that says that, but scientists as well going, wow, this is really amazing. Let's talk about why they have such an acute sense of hearing. First of all, they have muscle power. They have 32 muscles in each of their outer ears. And that, again, is extraordinary for cats. We have 6 and dogs have 18. So again, their ability to rotate, they're like little satellite dishes on their heads. And the really unique thing is that they turn at 180 degrees, but they can also turn independently of one another. So it's literally like picking up signals in different areas, and 2 different ears are doing their own receptive thing, bringing that together for information for the cat. And what this also does is to really help them determine exactly where the direction of a sound is coming from. And again, this relates to their ancestral instinctive behaviors, because not only does it help them identify where potential prey is, but also it's survival. And so they can pick up on predators as well. But then there was something really interesting that I found. And John Bradshaw, who is like an expert about cats, he's in England. He was the one, and this is fascinating. Again, they have the widest hearing range of any mammal.
Of any mammal?
Widest hearing of any mammal. And they have a full 8-octave range of hearing. And what's really interesting is they have what is called a resonating chamber in their ear, which actually extends their range of hearing. It's sort of a range of hearing down an octave. So they can actually hear more of the sound coming from a male voice.
Interesting.
Now, the really interesting thing about that, and looking at it from a historical perspective and evolution, wild cats are prey to lions in Africa. So being able to detect those deeper sounds can become very important then. So again, nature sort of provides animals with what they need to survive in the wild. But I thought that was an interesting piece of information that he was able to share with us.
Wow. So it's, so just to clarify for my brain, they have an 8-octave range,
right,
of hearing, plus a chamber in their ear that extends the low frequencies.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's really an interesting fact. But there's another thing that comes into play as well. They have absolute precision detection. And there's a behaviorist, Aisling O'Keefe, who can, you're frozen on my screen.
It's a system services. What does that mean? What does what mean? Where does it
just system? Okay, you were frozen for a while. I wasn't sure if.
Okay, we're both like.
Are we back? Ours went like, we've never seen that before. It went black. We were like, oh no, did our internet go out?
It's like, am I talking to myself?
We could hear you for a minute longer, and then we were like, oh.
Okay, wait. Go back.
Technology.
Well, the interesting thing is she reported on some studies that were done that cats can actually distinguish the source of two different sounds that are within 3 inches of one another from 3 feet away.
Oh.
Why do they have that capability for detecting their prey at night in the wild? It is, we always talk about cats as having that precision, and their hearing supports that whole platform. Their hearing is a critical, critical component into managing through their environment.
It's like a supercomputer.
It really is. But when you think about being able to detect two different sources, 3 inches away, being 3 feet apart, that is like supersonic hearing.
Oh, I'll tell you, just tonight, like literally just like an hour ago, I heard Adrian. She was downstairs. I was upstairs in my office. She was downstairs recording a video. And I thought, my hearing thought that she was like in the next room. So I walk into the next room and I'm just upstairs. Talking to her, just like upstairs. I'm just like talking to her, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, where is she? And I realized that she's down here because my ears can't detect that she's like, <here's her downstairs. laughs> I just heard her and thought she was right there.
Oh God, that's amazing.
If only I were a cat.
Great comparison. Great comparison.
Wouldn't you love to come back as a cat just for a few days to really source all these powers and utilize them in your environment? It would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
But also I want to talk about frequency, and I see on some of the comments people are talking about what their cats can hear. And this was another whole area that is just absolutely fascinating. Cats can hear sound two octaves higher than humans and one octave higher than dogs. Okay. And what I'm going to share with you is some of their frequency ranges, and not to get into the science too much, but I'm going to report their frequency range in terms of hertz, and it's just the way frequency is measured. Humans hear between 64 and 23,000 hertz. Okay?
Okay.
Dogs hear between 67 and 45,000 hertz, which is double the higher end frequency. Cats hear between 45, so they can hear lower, but go up to 64,000 hertz.
Oh my God.
So could you put up that little diagram that I have? So one of the things that I always try to do is the more we can experience what our pets are experiencing, the better it is for us. So I did a little exploration and I found this great resource on YouTube, which is provided by Audio Sweep. And you can go on and they have a tone that will go into the frequencies of these hertz, okay?
Wow.
After 20,000 hertz, it becomes basically inaudible to us. Mm-hmm. But the high pitch, and if anybody does this, please make sure the volume on your computer is lower, because I had mine on full sound and I was like,
eh! Good tip, Dr. Smea. Good tip.
I mean, I had humming in my ears for the next 3 years. I didn't want to do that again. But what was so fascinating to me is the pitch goes so high and then all of a sudden becomes inaudible, but cats are hearing three times this.
Wow.
That's incredible.
So what this suggests is there is a whole world of sound that is operating in their world that we can't hear, that we can't relate to. And that's why I talk about when you feed your cat, think about where you're feeding them. Most people serve in the corner of a kitchen. And that's one of the most threatening things because they're enclosed. They can't escape. Their vision is blocked. But more importantly, the cacophony of sounds going on that they're hearing can create a very threatening situation. And oftentimes this can cause finicky eating as well. And everybody's house has a specific sound profile as well. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that, things you may never have thought about, which you can change in your house to make your house more hospitable from a hearing perspective for your cat.
Oh my gosh, I'm very excited about this. We're going to get rid of our hot water heater. Our hot water heater sounds like there's a wrestling match going on in our garage. And our babies are like, what is that?
Oh my God. But let me share one other thing. Why do cats have such high frequency? Why can they hear? And so much more than dogs. Remember, dogs are pack hunters. Wolves are pack hunters. Domestic cats and the North African Asian wild cat is a lone hunter. Cats and rats, their calls are between 22,000 and 70,000 hertz. It even exceeds what cats can hear. Okay? The calls of bats and other rodents can go from 20,000 hertz to 100,000 hertz.
So rats and bats are talking to each other on a frequency that we cannot hear, but our cats can.
Absolutely. But the interesting thing that I found is when I was looking this up, it also exceeds in some ways the capacity of cats to hear. So they also can communicate at a higher level that is inaudible to cats. But what this shows is there is a world of communication going on. And we're at 20,000 hertz. Everything else is inaudible to us. When your dogs and cats are reacting, you know, something's going on. They're hearing something that you can't. Mm-hmm. But when you think of living in the wild and being a predator and looking for food, it's like the jungle noise is alive and well at night. It's really an amazing thing. There's a whole world of sound.
And that they can distinguish so clearly between different sounds.
Right.
That is incredible.
Wow.
So it's almost without their hearing, without this precision hearing, without this 8-octave hearing, they would not be able to protect themselves from predators. But more importantly, finding prey would be much more difficult.
Wow.
Wow. So if I were lost in the jungle or on an island, I would want a cat beside me so that I could just...
I don't know if like, they would help you.
This one.
They would be like, this oaf over here is really messing up my game.
Oh, goodness. That's so funny. So anyway, I hope this is bringing sort of a different perspective because, you know, we oftentimes look at our animals and saying, what's wrong with you? They know exactly what's going on. We're the ones who are in the dark. So paying attention to them, we can learn a lot. But in terms of the actual sounds, I want to talk about a couple of different things, which I hope is helpful. There are certain high-pitched sounds which are really attention-getting. And there is a story that I've known about for a while, but I actually had a friend who went through this as well. This man had reported, moved into a new house, had a number of problems, basement flooding, air conditioning and attic didn't work, all these things. And one day his cat started crying almost human-like, and it wouldn't stop. And the man took a shower, he gets out of the shower, the cat is still just going crazy, but the cries were so significantly different. And so he started to follow the cat, and the cat is looking back to make sure, you know, he's following him. And he brought him to a room where the attic door was. And the man didn't hear anything, but when he touched the door, it was heat. It was extremely hot. And there was actually a fire that had started with the air conditioning. And I had a friend who had a fire in the house, and her cat was the one who detected it. And wow. Interestingly enough, it's hard for us to hear that. The sound of fire is at 15,000 hertz, but it's at a very low amplitude. So, you know, it's not real loud, but because of the strength and power of cats' hearing, the frequency and the low amplitude, they were able to bring it together and actually warned the man that the fire was in the house.
Wow.
So if your cat is trying to get your attention and bring you to something, they can actually be detecting something. And we don't really know. It could be irritating, but we all know that cats are very curious too. So it may be what's going on in there. I'm not sure what it is. But the interesting thing was the quality of the cat call that was coming out. It was qualitatively different from anything else that the man had ever heard. So it's just sort of an interesting thing. But there was a study done at the University of Wisconsin that wanted to know about music. Do cats like music? And I don't know, do you guys play music for your cats at all?
All day long.
Okay, what do you play?
Depends on Jay's mood.
It depends on the mood, but it's typically like a smooth jazz or a like, sometimes we'll play like Kenny G radio, but then sometimes it's more like a, you know, it depends on my mood, but all day long there's music playing.
Okay. So what they found was that the frequency range and the tempo were critical in terms of cats liking a particular piece of music. And it was those that resembled or reflected the natural communication of the species, the way that they communicate with one another. So they were actually able to put together musical pieces that cats enjoyed.
That makes sense because there's actually,
I want to hear that.
So there is, and I think there was the science around it. There is a YouTube channel, and our cats have been watching cat TV lately. We've been turning it on for them, but that's more just the bird sound lately. But there's one that's called Relax My Cat. And I think there's Relax Your Cat Radio on Alexa too.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, it plays, I would think that because a lot of stuff says that cats like classical music. So I would assume that it would be more just like, in my mind, like Bach, Beethoven type music. But it is more almost like spa-ish music.
Okay.
That's played. And it's very different from what I would think would be the Relax Your Cat radio.
Yeah, you know what? I have to get more into this, but I find it fascinating that a musician could actually compose something specifically for cats. And, you know, it's just fascinating. So auditory enrichment, and I'm going to talk about that in relationship to feeding, can be an important element to making their feeding more enjoyable as well.
Oh, nice. Please do share. That. Yes, okay. That's great information.
So then, of course, we know that high-pitched, really high-pitched sounds are completely irritating to cats. and specifically the hiss. And that's coming from aerosol sprays or from computers or from fluorescent bulbs. And the reason for that is it resembles and reflects aggressive sounds from other cats in nature. So it causes sort of an irritating immediate reaction.
Angstiness.
It's almost like an involuntary reaction of sorts. But the thing about music, the other thing is they don't like abrupt sounds. They don't like loud noises. And then the extremely high frequencies. So taking all that into consideration would really be a good help in selecting music for your cats.
I love to know heavy metal. No. Stations will be off limits in this house.
Oh, dear. So then let's talk about Henry's pocket. Okay.
I can't wait.
Boy, this one had me going. Jay, I was determined to bring the absolute solution to you tonight, okay? I said, I am not going to let this woman down. She immediately mentioned that. I got to deliver on this. Okay, I kind of have a half answer. But it is one of the biggest mysteries. And I disagree with those scientists who are saying that it serves no purpose at all. Because I think everything structurally, from a physiology perspective, serves a purpose. Now, it is possible that, you know, much like why do dogs have droopy ears? Well, if they no longer use them through evolution, those muscles give way and they can basically flop down. But with the cats and the importance of hearing, I find it hard to believe that evolution really took away the power of anything in their structure. So the one thing that I did find is there is a whole area of research called psychoacoustical research. And what that basically means is that the whole geometry of the ear impacts how sounds are brought in and presented downward to a cat's ear canal because it extends very long. There's a 90 degree angle and has to go all the way down. But what I was able to find out, especially with cats, now that they can hear that lower octave, separating the higher from the lower becomes important with that pocket. Now, this is sort of my hypothesis working off of Bradshaw's information, but the geometry of the ear impacts exactly how sound is received. So this is what I'm doing for you. I have put out an all hands on deck to my friends in zoology and animal evolutionists.
No way.
And over the course of the next 3 to 4 weeks, I am going to get the best possible answer for you. No. But I think you're going to have to do the evolutionary route. They're really going to know why this is here and how it still functions. But knowing that cats hear 8 octaves, okay, the separation of those sounds becomes critical because if they're mushed together, then hearing prey or hearing predators becomes very difficult.
Right.
So we'll see what we can find out.
This is absolutely incredible because I did a cat tip on Henry's pocket long, long time ago. I spent days trying to figure out, and it was interesting because the geometry of the ear and how it actually processes sound and how they receive it and to the brain and all this kind of stuff, that all became a part of it. So it's like, so why don't you know what this is?
And could find nothing. It ended, the cat tip ended as nobody knows. Nobody.
And here's the other thing. Bats and weasels muscles have the pocket. So they're night predators, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to filter noise becomes very, very important. And they hear at much higher frequencies. So, you know, differentiating and purifying that sound becomes important. So, I mean, it is a hypothesis about, you know, how it's separating. But all this relates to, you know, the hunt, protecting yourself from predators, and clarifying that sound so it's actionable. It's like if we have all these different sounds coming at us all at once, it's just going to muddle. We have to have a way that different frequencies are processed. So I think there's a solid evolutionary foundation for it. We just need to find somebody. There's got to be an evolutionist out there that can help us with this. So we will do our best to make this happen.
Oh, we definitely have to do a follow-up on this. And if anyone knows why it's called Henry's, like, who is Henry?
Yeah, that's another.
One of the things that they talked about was, I believe his name was, Joseph Henry. And he was in the electrical world and dealt with waves. And mm-hmm. some people think his theory was used in terms of sound wave. There is nothing out there that really links the two, but throughout the literature, everybody seems to reflect on that. And so there's something connected, and you could understand sound waves, electricity, how all these things come together. And I just realized I'm using my hands doing this. I'm doing the wave. But it's fascinating. I mean, you know, the whole geometry of our ear, when you look at how sound is received, we have no understanding of the complexity and how nature has provided this. It's really an amazing thing.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe an all hands on deck bulletin. I love you so much. Only you have the power for such a great, like, collaborative collection of.
Well, you know what? If I find somebody, we're going to have to get them on here, okay? Yes. Because they deserve it. Yes. And they'll enjoy meeting you guys as well. Just a few more things then. Like other things, ears are also communication tools. And oftentimes we overlook that as well. Your cat's ears, they use those as an extra communication tool, just like they do with their whiskers and their nose and everything else. They are talking to you. It's up to us to listen. But sort of a neutral stance is just ears facing forward. Alertness is straight up and forward. And if you ever go to the zoo and see any of the wildcats out there, especially when there's large crowds of people, you will see their ears standing straight up and detecting everything that's going on around them. And you can actually see the change in movement with crowds coming in and crowds going away. Twitching is instinctively hunting. When those ears are swiveling around and twitching, you know they got somebody on the radar that they're going to be going after. An anxious feeling is sort of low and sideways. And it's really interesting. There can be sounds in your home where when the cat goes into that particular room, you may be seeing the ears drop like that. It could be a sign that there is an irritating sign in there, sound. And not feeling well, low and facing out. The ears are low and facing out. And of course, when they're low and flat back, watch out. They're going to be aggressive and they're going to come and get you. So all of these become important communication elements. Mix it up with the rest of the things we've talked about. And then I just have a few other comments. Some interesting facts. Kittens are born deaf, which
what?
kittens are born deaf. Their ear canals are closed and they open up after a week. Yes. And by the end of week two, they're fully functioning. And then the other interesting thing is that white cats with blue eyes typically have partial hearing loss or are deaf. Mm-hmm. You guys probably know that. I'll let you explain.
No, you explain.
But we do know that. We do know that. We actually have friends who have cats that are deaf and white with blue eyes.
Well, and question, and I see David asking if we can do a Q&A. That was actually one of the questions, is how does deafness affect our cats? Since it is such a powerful sensory capability that they have. But the white cats with the blue eyes, you know about the science behind why that is.
There is a gene associated with that particular color combination that makes it 80% likely to be deaf.
So is it a recessive gene? Is that
I didn't really have a lot of time to go into great detail. It is just a predictive gene. And there were two of them that were specifically mentioned. I don't remember what they are, but if you go online, it is, and it doesn't always mean that they're going to be 100% deaf. Sometimes it's partial, but with that gene, it is a deterioration of the inner ear.
Wow.
Deterioration. Wow. So I just thought that was sort of an interesting topic. It's an interesting thing. So coming into some conclusions, and then maybe we can take some questions. My one walk away after putting all of this together is, in a lot of ways, dogs and other animals have stronger senses than cats. But the cat world is precision oriented. And I think that's one of the things that truly differentiates them overall, because of their size and because they are lone hunters. They have been programmed for a different type of survival. And that's why I always like comparing dogs to cats, so you can see the differences. Pack hunters versus lone hunters, the different traits physiologically that they have. And so when we're thinking about this, there's a couple things that relate to feeding specifically. And it's sort of audio enrichment as well as scent enrichment, nose enrichment. When you're making platters for your cats, think about hiding a favorite food at the bottom of the divot that's slightly covered over. Okay? Make them sort of want to go digging. Instead of hide and seek, it's sort of plant and dig. And create that scent interest to explore the platter more. And then with the hearing, you can do special tree platters during the day in rooms that carry meaningful auditory enrichment for your cat. And this can become a really special treat, holidays, special occasions, birthdays, but understanding what is auditorily going to be reinforcing to your cat with a platter that has that scent going, it's like nirvana on the feline feeding field, right? So everybody quit their jobs and just plan on doing this day in and day out for your cat. But what I'm saying is, it's so easy. It's not difficult. But once we look at all these senses, we can make feeding such a special occasion, and we're giving back who they are, who they're meant to be in nature. and to let them use it to their fullest. And I think it's going to bring happier cats in our lives. So I hope this was kind of all coming together then.
I think love it's so significant so
to just realize just what a supercomputer our cat's ears are. And I know that, you know, a lot of us will be like, oh my God, my cat hears something. It's a ghost. But, you know, but realizing the physiology of how they are made and why they are made that way. And also realizing how much that does impact, like who would think my cat's being a finicky eater, never wants to eat his food. Where are you putting it? Is it right next to the dishwasher that's running? Is it next to the refrigerator that's got a hum going on that makes them feel angsty? To consider those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to put together, like you think about everything that we've discussed about in this series, everything that we've learned from you in this series, right? And how their whiskers work and how their nose works. And all of it is actually a beautiful little computer, right?
Yeah.
But they all work together, which is how they get that precision, right? Like that cats are amazing. I mean, Dr. Svea, we are the two crazy cat ladies. Pretty much everybody knows that we love cats, and you make us love cats more, appreciate cats even more than we already did.
We've got the dog sage here on Facebook, and she just said, or he just said, I'm not quite sure, Carol is the newly crowned cat queen.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say.
I love it though, because you're scientific research brain. And I love that you started off, you know, really delving into this for humans and then realizing from your own experience with Pip, with your own pet, how much everything about how our pets are made means something to them, and food being so foundational, how they eat, where they eat, it just is such a huge thing. Do you think we have time for a couple questions? Because I saw a few pop in. I'm not sure if you'll have, did you find anything in the research about in the wild, even about cats that may be deaf and how that affects them? I mean, obviously in the wild, I would imagine it affects their survival ability.
You know what? Cats have a unique ability to adapt. All animals do. Hearing in the wild would be very difficult, but they do sense with their paws vibrations on the ground. The whiskers, okay. If prey is around, the whiskers will, you know, feel it. It picks up on airflow, on temperature, and all those other things. So there really isn't anything that I've been able to find about animals that survive in the wild being deaf at all. But they have other very powerful, strong senses that can fill in and help that process.
You know, and I would assume that it's kind of like, even like us, right? Like when you lose one, the others become stronger, right? Like if we lose our eyesight, our hearing becomes like our smell, you know, like, and that's what we've seen with, you know, with cats that are blind or cats that are deaf. It's these other beautiful senses resilient that they have. Yeah. And speaking of resilient, Madison asked about, and that's, I think it's a good question. You probably didn't find anything about this in your research. But they, you know, when we do TNR, which is so important to, you know, control population and overpopulation of kitties, humane. But they do the ear tips, right? So they chip out the tip of their ear. And she's asking if it would have any effect on their hearing.
I didn't find anything that led to that conclusion at all.
Yeah, I would assume as such, as resilient as they are, that it probably does not.
Yeah, but I will tell you one thing. There's a lot of discussion right now about how cats can be used in natural disasters. You know, you have dog teams that go in. Well, when you think about cats' sense of smell, in addition to their hearing, it could be useful for that. The one thing that they are doing is trying to figure out how to train cats more, where they can direct them to certain areas. Dogs, you know, are more easily trained than cats are, but cats are getting recognized more and more for their powerful senses, and how can we use them to our advantage in different situations. So it's an interesting recognition that's starting to come to the forefront now.
I love that. It's so what I love so much about this series, Dr. Smea, and your incredible efforts that are so thorough, whether it's our, you know, whether it's just understanding just the wild child, how our cats really are so closely connected to their ancestors, their nose, their whiskers, the ears, everything about them is so unique. It has been, I think in the pet community, there is kind of that idea of cats are kind of like small dogs, or cats are easier than dogs, or, you know, I literally had someone tell me on a phone call who was calling about cats that said something about her daughter wanted to get a pet, and she told her to get a cat because they're so much easier than dogs. And it was like, they're more misunderstood, I think.
Most misunderstood animal.
Right. That there's these, every bit of research and revelation that you're sharing about things that we're like, oh, we kind of know about the ears. Hey, yeah. We kind of know their noses are real sensitive.
But to know more
of the wholeness of it. My God, like I have, look at this creature on my lap. Like what?
Yeah.
What an amazing being.
You know what? I think you brought up a very interesting point, because, you know, wolves and dogs are a little bit easier because they've learned to work together through evolution, you know, to bring down that buffalo, to bring down that deer or whatever. So given that cats are lone hunters, that social background isn't there. But what I find so amazing is they're communicating to us a lot. It's just maybe we've gone in with the assumption that my cat is self-sufficient, so I don't really have to worry about them. Well, once you do that, you're setting up a precondition where you're setting the rules to the game. I don't have to look at my cat's ears. I don't have to look at their whiskers. I don't have to look at their reaction to things. They're just unique creatures. And, you know, some people say there's literature on, do cats have a sixth sense? And I think really what it is nobody's really taking the time to understand the power of their senses. And that's really what gives them their sixth sense. Like detecting that fire, that was something that was auditory. Okay, that wasn't like, oh, I sense danger. So I think the more we pay attention, but it's also important for people, when your cat is acting up, there's something going on. When they're trying to drag you, there is a high frequency, whether it's fire or a leak or something like that.
Yeah, I think I told you before that it was this one. It was Zorro that a couple of years ago, he started making this, he just started crying in this way that he had never cried before. And I'm like, what is going on? And he was just kind of circling us like this.
But
like
he had us following him, like just walking around, like just almost frantically.
We were like, what is going on? Like we thought everything was fine. It was literally 5 minutes later, an earthquake hit.
Oh my goodness. See?
And our chandelier just started doing this, and we were like, it wasn't like an earthquake where we have to like,
and he finally just sat down and was like, okay, finally, geez.
That is what you were telling us. How did you know that? That's so amazing.
I'm sure he did, right? 5 minutes before
made noises that we had never heard, said like meowed in this way that like we were like, what is going on?
Yeah. And then, air pressure and all those things are very sensitive to, and see, you weren't paying attention.
No, we were like,
we were looking. We were like, what could be? What is there? We checked on all the other babies. We were like, it's, you know, we still have 2 hours till dinner.
He couldn't
like,
lead us to the earthquake. I don't know. And then the earthquake hit, and we were like, wow.
Hey, a little off topic, Linda. Though, great question, and we just did this one on the whiskers, but. Speaking of whiskers, what would make my 8-year-old cat's whiskers curl forward and up? In our experience, and I'm going to let the expert address that in a minute. In our experience, when they're doing that, I always picture Mr. Biddles. Oh my God, he just had the cutest little whisker face. He would get excited when he was chasing a fly, or if he was chasing something, or if he could see like a bird in the window or something, his whole snout would go forward and his little whiskers would just be, it was like, oh my God, it's like his whole face poofed up. So yeah. I would say that your cat is focused on something. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Any type of reaction like that with the whiskers, the ears, if the whole facial structure is changing and reacting, they're seeing something, they're setting their sights on it. And yeah, what is it? You have to tell us what it is. Come back next time and let us know. Yeah.
And Mr. Milligan, with a great point, I think this is what Dr. Smith is saying too. There's a lot that we can learn about cats by paying attention to their behavior in simple, casual observation. Responding to them when they talk, seeing how they handle your response can reveal a lot about them as a species and their individual personalities. Yes. So true.
And you know what? There is not a lot of social behavioral research on cats.
Right.
There's tons on dogs, but and even a lot of the studies are small sample sizes,
very small.
You know, not very in-depth. And I think that's one of the difficulties when we're trying to piece all this together. Hopefully with time now, more and more people are going to pay attention. And I think if cats are now going to be used in these natural disaster situations or things like that, more and more science dollars are going to be allocated to feline research. And I think that's what it all comes down to, the grant money coming in, and hopefully more of that will be taking place then.
Oh, I love this so much.
I'm very excited. I know we're about to wrap up, but you have an exciting announcement. I know you are busy doing research, making this beautiful product for all of our babies to have a better feeding experience, mealtime, but you have a new Facebook page.
Yes, we do.
I'm so excited about this, because when we first learned about you, you're kind of a little hard to track down. The website is fantastic. We have a link for the website in the description.
Also a link to the new Facebook page,
you guys,
right here in the description, guys. So click on that, give it a like, give it a love, like, give it a follow.
There we go. Thank you, Steph.
Oh, yes.
Just dropped it in the comments as well. So you can't miss it.
Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate that.
We
appreciate it.
We appreciate you and everything that you do for our kitty friends. There's so, as we've said, you know, time and time again, it's just there's so few that are willing to even look into the cat world, and to have, you know, a beautiful, beautiful doctor like yourself do this for us and an entire series. It's just absolutely,
it's a gift. It's to all of us.
For every cat parent, it's such a gift. And we're excited for next month's series or episode as well. All about the night moves.
Do you want to tease it for us?
We are going to be talking a lot about the cat's eyes and how it functions in the wild. So get ready for the night moves.
I think it's fascinating that when you tell somebody that a cat's eyes and an alligator's eyes are the same, they're like, wait a minute, what? A cat's eyes and snake eyes have vertical pupils. Like,
what?
So much in this. And I want to say a thank you to you as well. I think so much of what Jay and I do is we spend all of our time trying to learn information to help our babies, to share with others, learn, share, grow, right? And it is such a gift to have a resource like you, not just the science behind, you know, the effort that you put in with your brain into the science of helping us all better understand our cats, but actually going through the agony at times it can be producing a product. And we've gotten a lot of amazing feedback from people who have had cats that are finicky eaters, that don't understand why this isn't working, that have tried your Mind Pet Platter and have their cat is having a better life. And so on.
That's great. You know what? We spent 4 years researching the Pet Platter. And let me tell you, this looks really, really simple. If you saw all of the different variations, I should have a little museum for it. Some of the contraptions we had were like, oh my God. But, and our whole goal was to bring back to our beloved pets the ability to eat the way they're meant to. And once you do that, it solves all of the eating problems that you have, but we need to respect them. And that's why I so appreciate you giving me this platform, because as we go through this together, everybody's going to put these pieces together in feeding and understand why the pet platter makes sense and how to use it in ways that really bring happiness to their pets. And I'm just glad that I can bring some focus to cats, because again, they haven't received the attention they deserve. And hopefully this is going to generate a lot more interest in getting a cat as well.
Amen. Yay,
yes, absolutely. Oh my goodness.
Dr. Smith, thank you so much again for your time, your expertise. Cannot wait till next month, you guys. Stay tuned.